Well, good morning, Christ Church, Kingwood Online. For those of you that may not know me, my name is Jeremy McCow, and I'm one of the elders and pastors here. And we're continuing our journey through the book of Mark. And this morning we're stepping into chapter 8, verses 1 through 10 will be the section we're in today. And I'm going to read it, and then we'll dive in. It says, in those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat. Well, if you just stopped right there and said, again, a great crowd gathered. So there's hope that we will soon again have a great crowd gathering. But in those days, great crowd gathered and they had nothing to eat. And he called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And this, his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is living and active, that it is a sharp sword that pierces and reveals and exposes and convicts and comforts and strengthens. And we ask this morning, God, that your word would be that to us. And that you would shape us by the truths that are revealed in this passage this morning. And that you would shape us as your people to be your people in this earth, in this time. Amen. So some of you may be thinking, wait, haven't we heard this before? Haven't we already covered this? Because if you think back in, there's a story back in chapter 6 where Jesus fed 5,000 people. Some people may confuse these two stories and think, well, maybe they're one, maybe the Mark kind of got confused, but these are actually two different accounts that took place at two different times in two different locations. Now, they do have a lot of similarities, especially with the way that Mark records them, but they are two different stories. And Jesus actually proves that down in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 8 here, where he says, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and then he says, I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000. So Jesus himself shows that these were two completely different miracles, very similar, but different. And so it brings to the question, why would Mark include two very similar miracles in his gospel? Before we dive into the story itself, I want to point out a couple things that are happening in the background here that I think will help answer the question why Mark would do this. Why would he put both of these very similar stories in his gospel? Now, we saw last week, as Patrick covered, that Jesus had returned from the region of Tyre. He had crossed the Sea of Galilee, and he's now in the region of the Decapolis. So these 10 cities in this area, as we saw, was primarily a Gentile region. It's where the non-Jews lived. In the story last week, Jesus heals the deaf guy with the speech impediment, and the crowds go wild, right? It says that no matter how much Jesus charged them to not say anything, they couldn't help it. It was like the Decapolis deacons won the championship. And the front page of the Decapolis Times, the headline said, Jesus is here. And he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The news spread like wildfire. He couldn't stop it. It started trending number one on Twitter. It became the most watched video on TikTok. Every news station in the region had their own spin of this story of Jesus healing this man. So we might think, well, it's no surprise that we read in verse 1 of chapter 8 that there was a great crowd that gathered around Jesus in this desolate place. Right? They wanted to see this miracle-working Jesus for themselves. But if we pause a moment and we remember back what we saw in chapter 5, the first time Jesus actually entered into this region was a story with the man in the tombs where he delivered him from the demons, the multiple demons. So in that moment, in that recording back in chapter 5, when Jesus' first time that we read that he actually entered into this region, after that whole experience, they begged Jesus to leave the region. They wanted nothing to do with him. So Jesus delivers this man out of the tombs, and the man at the end of the story that was possessed by demons had experienced this delivering power of Jesus. He actually begged Jesus to go with him. But Jesus looked at him and said, no, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man was ready to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, you go back to your friends and your family and tell them all that just happened. So he did. He went and he began proclaiming throughout the Decapolis, these 10 cities in this area, how much Jesus had done. And it says that the people marveled. They started marveling at what had transpired. The testimony and the proclamation of that man paved the way to the healing that we read about last week, and it paved the way to the story that we have today. However many days and weeks and months had gone by between the demon-possessed man experience and Jesus now coming back into the region of the Decapolis, whatever length of time that was, there was a proclamation that had been going on. The story of Jesus delivering this man had been happening. That proclamation of the saving power of Jesus had been spreading and causing people to marvel throughout the region. So that sets the tone that these people were ripe for this moment. They were ready to embrace Jesus. If you think about the drastic difference between these two moments, these two incidences. See, rather than begging him to leave, which is their first response back in chapter 5, they were now willing to sit with him in a desolate place for 3 days until they ran out of food. They wanted to stay with him. There was a longing inside of them to be filled with whatever Jesus had to offer. And what's crazy is these weren't Jesus' people, right? They were Gentiles. They were folks from the other side of the tracks. Now, I believe Mark includes both of these mass feeding miracles in his gospel to show us and to show the world that Jesus did not come just to satisfy the deep longing of the Jewish people, which was what the 5,000 was. The 5,000 was the feeding of Jewish people. And this story is to show that Jesus came to satisfy the deep longing and the hunger for salvation for the entire world, Jew and Gentile alike, all people in need of his all-satisfying salvation. If we look at John 6, verse 35 and then verses 48 through 51, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And verse 48 says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. If anyone eats of this bread. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We read in Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16, says, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open up your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. In Jesus, the bread of life himself, was the God who opens up his hand and satisfies the desire of everyone. All the longing, all the hunger is found in Christ. So as we look deeper into this story this morning, I want to draw our attention to two more things. What was the force behind God's desire to satisfy? What drove Jesus in this moment? And then secondly, what is the invitation to us? If you look at verse 2 of chapter 8 there, Jesus says, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." The only other gospel to record this story was Matthew. And we have it in Matthew 15. In Matthew's account, it says that Jesus had compassion on the people and that he was unwilling to send them away hungry. He was unwilling. So the will of God to care for and meet the needs of his people is driven by his love and his compassion for his people. So Jesus had compassion and he was unwilling. So the force behind Jesus' satisfying act of love to feed these people was his compassion. The force behind God's satisfying act of love to give Jesus as the bread of life for all people was his love and compassion. It's compassion and love that moves to action. Now I want to look at the Greek word for compassion here. It's a very interesting word. It's in the Greek, the word splanchna, which literally means inward parts or guts. It's the heart, the organs. It's actually the English word that we get the word spleen from. So the internal guts, and it's also the figurative meaning for emotions, the capacity to feel deeply. Splanchna is an emotional experience that you feel deep in your guts. It's compassion and love that goes physically deep. It's similar to us saying, "I love you with all my heart," right? With that internal being. It's that feeling inside. But splanchna is a little different because splanchna is a looking upon others and feeling the emotion and the affection and the compassion and the empathy and the tender mercy, and not just feeling it, but feeling it in such a way that it moves you to action. This word is used several times. We see it throughout the gospel writers. We see it in Matthew 9:36 and Mark 1:41 and Luke 7:13. They used this word to describe Jesus' response in these miracles. When he saw the crowd as sheep without shepherds, he had compassion. When he cleanses the leper in Mark 1, he had compassion. Whenever Luke 7, when he raised the widow's son from death, he had compassion. Right? Jesus looked at people. He saw their suffering, he saw their pain, he saw their loss, he saw their needs, and he felt compassion. And that compassion moved him. Listen to what pastor and author David Hansen said. He put it this way. He said, "When Jesus saw people suffering, his guts shook. This interior ache touched his will and moved him to action. It was a moral response." Splanchna is an interior, emotional reaction to an exterior phenomenon, but is just as much a moral decision as it is an emotional effect. Jesus loved people. He saw their need. He had compassion, and he acted. His compassion is what drove Jesus to perform the miracle that we see here today for these needy people that were hungry and without food. And it's compassion that drove God to give his son, Jesus, the all-satisfying bread of life that leads to eternal peace and joy. Look at Isaiah chapter 54, verses 7 through 10. This is God speaking, saying, For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment, I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, and I will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Compassion is what drove Jesus to action. So if we sit with that for a moment, we have to ask the question, so what's the invitation here? What does this do for the disciples in this moment? What does it do for us? Look at what takes place after Jesus says he has compassion and he brings to light the current need of the people. In verse 4, it says his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" Notice Jesus didn't ask the disciples to do anything. See, back in chapter 5, or back when chapter 6, when he fed the 5,000, he actually asked them to feed them. He said, "You go feed them." And they grumbled and they complained about it. But in this moment, he doesn't ask them to do anything. There's no imperative. And he doesn't even say he's going to feed them. What Jesus does in this moment, he merely expresses his feelings of compassion. He highlights the current circumstance. And then he presents the need. He says, "I have compassion. Here's people that have been with me for 3 days without food. And if they leave and try to go home, they're going to faint along the way." That's all he did. And so the disciples take this moment and they deduced that these people needed to be fed and Jesus wanted to feed them. So their response, as they're processing in their minds and assessing the whole situation, is, "How? How is this even possible? Thousands of people being fed in a desert place." You know, I find myself, like the disciples, often having had experiences with God along the way throughout life and seen him move and act in ways I never could have imagined, and then forced into moments or placed into moments where the impossible is before me, and this is my response to how. But these are the guys that already saw him feed 5,000 people in a desolate place. And they're not just the guys that saw that. These are the guys that, according to our, so what we've walked through thus far just in the book of Mark, these are the same guys that saw Jesus cleanse lepers, heal paralytics, heal sick people with withered hands. They just saw a deaf and mute guy be healed. They've seen demons cast out. They've seen him calm a storm. And they've seen a little girl raised from the dead. And their response, "How can one feed these people in a desolate place? How's it even possible?" Seems like a very practical question, right? But what the disciples did not have in this moment was compassion. There was no compassion. There was no empathy. There was no affection or trembling down in their guts that moved them to action. There was only pragmatism, realism, and maybe even a little bit of their own prejudice towards these people because they weren't their people. They were on the other side of the tracks. See, Jesus' compassion became a challenge for the disciples in this moment. His compassion challenged them by inviting them into an impossible situation. He invited them into something that was beyond their abilities. It was beyond their pragmatism. It was beyond their prejudices and beyond their own smachna or their own compassion. He invited them into his compassion. A compassion to take action and experience the impossible. His question back to them, after they say, "How is this even possible?" His question back to them was, "What do you have? What's in your possession that can meet the need of these people?" He says, "How many loaves do you have?" That question is his invitation. He throws the question out, "What do you have?" And in asking that, it invites them into this compassionate act of love for people. An invitation to participate with him in an impossible miracle that can bring satisfaction to the longing and hunger of others. He invited them to give them something that would refresh and sustain these people for their journey. And so they say, "Well, we have these loaves." So Jesus takes these loaves. he breaks them, he gives thanks, and he breaks them, and then he gives them back to the disciples to give to the people. Jesus doesn't take the loaves, start breaking them and passing them out, and miraculously feed all these people. He takes the loaves that the disciples had, breaks them, gives thanks to the Father, and hands them back to the disciples, and the disciples handed them out to the people. The disciples served the people. An invitation to participate with him in the soul-satisfying compassion of God. It was an invitation for us just the same as it is for the disciples. We are invited as God's people to participate in the compassion of God for all people. We are invited to take what we have, no matter what it is, our resources, big or small, and to give them to Jesus and experience him produce his bountiful satisfaction in us and through us towards others. To what we have to offer won't satisfy people. Seven loaves won't feed 4,000 people. Jesus takes what we have to offer, and Jesus satisfies people. It's only when the things we have to offer flow through the hands of Jesus that they can become satisfying to others. It's only when our lives flow through the life of Jesus, or should I say, when the life of Jesus flows through us, that we can live in the compassion of God for others. When our lives are lived in and through Jesus, the outcome is not determined by circumstances. The impact we can have on people who have a deep soul hunger and longing to be satisfied is inexhaustible when we are moved with the compassion of God. They had more than enough. They picked up all these basketfuls of leftovers, an abundance of God. The things that we have to offer are more than enough when they flow through the life in the hands of Jesus. And the compassion of God melts away our pragmatism, the compassion of God, that gut-moving drive to act, melts away the impossibilities that are before us. It melts away our own prejudices towards others. We don't see people the way we want to see them. We see them how Jesus sees them, through his compassion. And the compassion of God towards us was displayed in the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. That bread of life broken for us, served to us while we were in our own desolate place, our own desert, our own wandering, our own need, our own hunger, in need of satisfaction, unable to make it to whatever destination without fainting along the way. And the broken body of Jesus was given for us. And now as his people, now as disciples of Jesus in him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we carry with us the same compassion, that same splanchna, that same broken bread to be given to others. If we would only stop and look at them, if we would only stop and listen to what they need, not the circumstances around us, not our pragmatism, not our prejudice. No matter what transpires over the next few weeks and months, and we start getting back into routine and being around people again, we're going to see people that take it differently than we do. We're going to see people that are taking these certain rules very serious, and we're going to see people that want to throw it all out the window. Let's just get back to normal. And it's going to be easy to just swing one way or the other, but what we're asking, what we're hoping and longing for is to experience compassion for all people, no matter where they are, to see people through the eyes of Christ and to have a compassion that can meet their need no matter what's going on with them, no matter where they are. To not be prejudiced, to not view circumstances and impossibilities, but to be moved with compassion. My prayer is that we would be a church whose lives are compelled to action towards others with that gut-shaking compassion of Jesus and experience unprecedented miracles in this unprecedented time. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Let's pray. Father, humility, we say thank you for the gift of Jesus to us, the broken bread of life for us. We thank you, Father, for your compassion. We thank you for your love for us, that you have met us in our deep need and longing to be satisfied. And we thank you that that satisfaction comes in you and through you. And as your people, Father, we take what we have and we give it to you. And we ask that you would use us to live lives of compassion for others and to meet the needs that are before us.